Hello, everybody, and welcome to Throwlers. I'm joined, as always, with Chris Reynolds. How you doing, Chris?
I'm brilliant. I'm glad we're not a visual podcast, mate. I don't have dance moves, but I can't help but dance that intro, and that was pretty awkward, if I do say so myself. I caught a little glimpse of my reflection in my windshield here in the studio, and it was embarrassing. So I'm glad we're not a visual podcast. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing well. I'm also quite white, so I relate. I relate to what you're saying, but no, I'm doing good. I'm on eruption countdown.
Oh yeah, moment. True. It's October.
Yeah. So I had the start of this week marked 3 full weeks of work, and it's already Wednesday, none of one. So I've got 2 and a bit full weeks of work now. So yeah, I'm keen. I'm very, very keen, but I'm very nervous. I remember we had the early pods about goals. And my goal was to get better at throwing, which I feel like I have done some little things and little bits of work, and I feel like I have gotten a little better, but I don't think I've gotten just definitely get over the water at hole 18 better. And that was the marker.
For the listeners, like, since those podcasts, just like on a scale between like 1 and 100, I guess, how many field day sessions have you done?
One.
Yeah, well, there's one.
I got one. But I have done, I think I've done things in rounds that...
Yeah,
adjustments.
Yeah, of course, yes. It works the same, you know. All practice is good practice, as they say. I just shared a meme on Instagram.
Yeah, I saw it. It was pretty funny.
Yeah, it's a good one. Is it new disc or field work? New disc does the trick.
Yeah, let's sort it right out. The irony is, like, the only part that I'm worried that I'm missing is a disc that can do it. I think I can now, but I don't. Like, I think the stable trail.
Yeah, stable trail. That's what I was going to say.
Is like, that's my go. Well, the one I'm going to go with first. But I was like, if that doesn't get it, like, I got to. Or if it's too windy or something, then I got to try to figure something else out. But that's my great white hope. But I got that climo one. I still haven't dick around with. Maybe that's going to be my one. But yeah, the irony is, instead of doing more field work, I was like, what disc can I do that'll definitely get me there?
Yeah, there you go.
But yeah, I'm keen. Very, very excited. So coming up close now.
Also, obviously, and it might feature later in the pod, but I just want to get it out there before I forget to say it. Obviously, we're on USDGC countdown as well. And I saw something on socials about 5 minutes ago, Will Schustrix again performing, playing. And in his little Instagram post, I've put more training in the last 3 months than I have done in a number of years.
Ooh, okay.
So that was a very spicy post. I love that. I would love to see, like, obviously, we know Doss plays, but, you know, Schustrix making cash, that'd be huge.
That would be huge.
Yeah.
And we listened to a bit of Tour Life, and... like Brody, who, you know, he never watched any of the old stuff. Like, I don't really know any of that old stuff either. He was saying that when he saw him play, he was like, oh, like, this guy's still real good.
Yeah.
He's like, I just assumed that, you know, back then it's all trash and who cares and whatever. He's like, Schustrix can fucking play. Yep. Yuli's like, yeah, bro.
Yeah. And like, yeah, so, they had, was that the same episode they had Paul on?
Maybe. Yeah, it might have been.
And Macbeth was like, the question was like, what's your dream, like, final card, USDGC?
Yeah.
And Macbeth was like, Schustrix, Gannonburr, Schustrix himself, and I can't remember someone else. I was like, yeah, that is a sick card.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that'd be cool. Imagine he's just, like, sneakily got pretty good and then just comes 10th or something. You're like, what?
Yeah.
Make cash would be a good goal, though.
Yeah, make cash is possibly more realistic, but yeah, let's see.
Nah, that'll be cool. Well, yeah, we'll get to that. We don't really have anything. There was no Pro Tour last week, was there?
So, no, we've had a week off.
We'll just have a little yarn about it now then.
Yeah.
Who are your tips on your tipping comp, and who do you actually think is going to win it?
Yeah, great question. I'm very proud to say that they are the same people. So I've got Calvin Heimberg as my tip in the comp, and I think he might just get one. He got second last year. He's been lingering. He obviously took down his first major in Europe earlier this year with that sick putt. You know, the only Innova player, you know, still out there as far as I'm aware. I think Calvin might jag it. And then on the throw pink side, I've got Owen Scoggins. And I think she might take it down. Well, I'm dreaming. But that's honestly, let's go. Like, outside of saying Gannon Burr, I'm going to say Owen and Calvin Heimberg. Mate, what about you?
I think you're probably going to win the tipping comp. Just quietly.
Yes.
I've got AB for, okay, cool. What's that, for USDGC?
Yep.
And ever since I was like, I don't know if he's this clear second best player in the world. He has been the clear 26th best player in the world. So I've got high hopes. You know what I mean?
Got high hopes?
Yeah. Like, he's for sure going to win.
Yep.
And I think in the throw pink, I've got the other Mandahano.
Okay.
Yeah, can't remember her name. But
Valerie?
Nah, she's a good one.
Alexis.
That's the one.
Yeah.
Yeah, the other one. Yep. But yeah, who's going to win them? I don't know. The FBI, that's a crapshoot at the moment. Like, it's crazy. Just Missy Gannon, I guess. I think it's kind of, they've all decided that they're not that good, and Missy's like, cool. Like, that's how it seems to be. They're, like, all trying too hard to be the best, and Missy's like, well, I'm just going to get a few birdies here and there, and then maybe I'll just win everything. So I think maybe she'll win that again. And, yep. Yeah, I don't know. Just every time I watch Gannon Burr play, I'm like, well, you're the best player in the whole world. So I'll have to, I'll tip him every week. I'll tip him every week. But who could fire up there? I don't know. It's, it's always a bit of a tough one. Pretty forehand friendly though, right? So maybe a bit Sully action. But yeah, Calvin's going to be a good tip. I think always plays really well there.
Fun fact, Will Shoestreet is the lowest rated player in the field.
Oh, there you go. What's he rating at now?
974.
Oh, shit. Okay. Yeah. Oh, I'll calm down with that. Top 10. Just quietly.
We best talk about the basket as well. I feel like you might have clicked the not like button. What's your thought on the basket?
I don't get it. Like, maybe I'm wrong here, but I was pretty good at physics, and I just don't think that dampens it very much. Having the inner, so they've got a third set of chains, and the innermost set of chains is essentially stuck to the pole. Like, it's just hanging directly on the pole. And whoever was doing the video, I can't remember who it was, but their assumption was that this was a dampener for those direct hit spit outs. Like, that was their assumption, not necessarily what the design actually was. I can't think of anything else why they would have it, but I can't think of a reason that that actually work.
I'm also not a physics person, but I'm just quickly, frantically typing into Google as we speak. Immovable object, obviously met with a moving object. Is there not something in physics that suggests that, you know, something has to give? And so when I hit the pole, which is immovable object, the disc does not lose any force or momentum, and that has to transfer to somewhere else, and that can transfer to spit outs. But by having a chain, which is a movable object, it could indeed do what Bradley Williams was suggesting and dampen the impact and take some of that force.
Yeah, I get if it's like not direct, like if you've hit the side of the chain, then it might kick you left or right or whatever. So potentially there's some there, but if you're hitting it on it, like you're hitting at it in the pole, it's just, if it's touching the pole, it acts as the same thing. It's not going to move sideways. It's just going to recoil back. It's made out of the same material.
Can't wait for for like our physics fact checkers out there. And we are learning that obviously there's a bunch of nerds amongst us, and I try to pass myself off as one now, but I've definitely just like opened the curtain a little bit that I am an idiot like most people and do not know what I'm talking about. So I look forward to being fact checked on all this. I guess proof will be in the pudding, like once the, you know, the Gannon Burrs and a couple of those other putters step up to it with their rockets. It will be interesting to see what we see this weekend.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, that'll be it. That's wild. It's crazy to me. Crazy to me that they're debuting it at a major.
I know, right?
Like that.
That's classic USDGC behavior.
It's classic PDGA shit. Yeah. Yeah, USDGC, they do just try stuff, right?
Yeah.
But I can't comprehend that. That's so stupid to me. But yeah, what are you going to do? They're all going to play on it. So, but yeah, it's just odd. Anything else from USDGC you can think of? Any other storylines? It's what, Ricky's last chance to get a win this year?
Unless they, they're counting the other thing, but he starts so many strokes behind Gannon Burr as if he's going to get it done. They've tweaked a few holes, made it a little bit more challenging. I saw in the Monday qualifier, someone took a 19 on hole 10. Because obviously there's just a few stroke and distance holes. And so, it'll be interesting to see how that shakes out. It's fun. It's always a fun event. Bring it on.
And anything on the Monday qualifiers that you saw? I saw that, what's her name?
Kona
got in, which was weird. So I tried looking it up, and there were tournaments that had qualifier written on or whatever, and she wasn't in that. There was a Q series thing. So I didn't really understand how that went, because there was a lot of MPO players that I understood. But then I think I might have found her thing, and it was just a one-day one round thing, the Monday qualifier. Yep. And I might have found the MPO version of that too, but I didn't see Brody Smith on it. And that was his whole thing, right? And he was going to, that's all he was going to do, is just play the Monday qualifier and try to win it. And he wasn't there, so.
No. And a couple of, I guess, names were on it. So I alluded to Parker Welk the other week being the probably the biggest name in the game that hasn't qualified. And he got T11th.
No good.
So that ain't getting it done. Albert Tom didn't get in. There was a couple other names. Garrett Gerthy, 20th. And that might be about it. And then Zach Melton. And then you can just tell, like, this event, it's a one-round event. You can just tell that, like, once someone's, like, double bogeyed the fourth, they've just gone, oh, fuck. And then just, like, proceeded to shoot plus a million.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. should be keen. I think it starts tomorrow, right? Am I crazy or not?
No.
Friday
morning.
Gotcha. Yeah. I must have read Thursday, but Thursday US time. So, should be good to see.
Yep.
I got an email from the ADG saying that they are taking nominations for the Australian Disc Golf Hall of Fame for the TD of the year and the volunteer of the year.
Thank you.
Yeah. What are your thoughts of that? They don't normally do this stuff, right? Is this the first year, or am I like, do we have a Hall of Fame, or is this the first people going in it?
No, come on, Alan.
Now we must have
Paul Arden got in.
Yeah, true. And we must have Rob Hancock and that sort of stuff. I just don't remember anything. It's not like a yearly thing, is it?
No, well, it possibly should be. Funny you say that. I actually, following the email, I Googled it, and no one got in last year. You would think that it would be a yearly thing, but no, it's not a yearly thing. Paul Arden was in there, and a couple other names, as you mentioned, were absolutely in there, and yeah, I think there's obviously scope for Chris Ronalds to make it. 2023 was when Paul Arden got in, and then it was 4 years before that in 2019 that Mark Powers got in. But before 2019, it was yearly there for a while, 2018, 2017, 2016. And now that people like ourselves exist, now, just put us in.
Yeah, we get nominations. I mean, Volunteer of the Year, you helped out with the team selection. Was that this year?
No, it might have been in the last. I actually got ADG been bombarding me, actually. So I got many emails about that again and asking me to be on the high performance committee as well. I said no, I'm not Volunteer of the Year. You're confusing me with someone else.
Fair enough. TD of the Year, though, we ran the number one tournament in Australia so far, I think. That could be right up there.
Yes.
Does this get us, are we in the Hall of Fame because of our media commitments?
I think so. I'd be surprised if we're not getting at least a few nominations. And I guess this is a call to our listeners. Let's treat this like the Golden, not the Golden Globe. What is it? The Logies? and TV Week, how we used to put our nominations in. Let the people know. Let the people know that you think we should be in there. I know, as Tioff has pointed out, we do occasionally take the piss, but we're not taking the piss here. Get us in.
I'm just reading the criteria. So it says the Hall of Fame exists to recognize those who have made a lasting mark on our sport. Okay. It is the highest honor that the ADG can award, celebrating players, organizers, mentors, and community builders whose legacy continues to inspire. I mean, are you a player?
Yes.
Organizer?
Yes.
Mentor?
Absolutely.
Community builder?
Significant.
Mate, it's a tick, 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 tick. So who can be nominated?
Do you know what I saw?
Yeah.
I saw on socials to just talk about our lasting impression. Marcus Davies is obviously building his social media presence at the moment, and the amount of people that I've seen written yikes as a comment just kind of goes to speak to.
Really? That's awesome.
We are just making an impression on this community.
All right, I need to get a yikes button then. So it says who can be nominated. Anyone who has made an enduring, outstanding contribution to disc golf in Australia for 10 years or more.
Oh, I guess I'm there.
We're well there. Pioneering play and competitive achievements.
Look at David Perry.
Yeah.
If that's not pioneer, I don't know what is.
I reckon you've got like 4 course records or something like that.
Yep.
Running clubs. I'll be a bit on board.
yes.
Courses and events that brought people together. Well, that for sure.
Look at Melton.
Yeah, exactly.
And like, let's not forget about Lake Mountain. Lake Mountain brought everyone together.
Mm-hmm. coaching, mentoring, and youth development. You've just spoken about Marky. You've taught people how to putt.
Yeah. I work in a school. I teach the maths.
Promoting.
That's developing the youth.
Promoting the sport through media.
Oh, yes.
Advocacy or creative projects.
This is like reading a horoscope. This just sounds like us.
Building disc golf's community spirit and leaving a legacy that lasts. Well, the internet's forever, so these things will be there forever. So,
And I tell you what else will be here forever? The 1087 rated round.
I think more so you have a very strong case. So don't be surprised if they come knocking on your door in a couple of weeks.
I'll be surprised if they don't.
All right, we've got a new segment introduced to the pod last week, and it was the best thrower of a disc, a specific disc that you are the best thrower of in Melbourne, and it got traction.
Oh, yes, it did.
It got a lot of traction. So we'll go through a few of them today, and then we'll trickle them out as we go. So if any of you disagree with these and you think you are the man or the woman that is best at this, then, like, let us know.
And that's the purpose of this segment. Like, it's very important that you let us know if you disagree with any of these.
Yeah, 100%. And then someone, Taryn, rightfully pointed out, like, I'm so stupid. I was trying to figure out what I am the best thrower of a disc as, and I came up short and just said some bullshit about a Firebird. But the Polecat.
Oh, yes.
The Polecat. I mean, yes. I put it in anyone else's hands and it's a dinner plate. You put it in mine and that finds chains. So I yeah, there's no chance anyone's better.
How remiss of you!
I couldn't believe that I forgot it.
Yeah.
But yeah, did you get any heat about your ones?
No, the opposite. As we know, I'm a much loved presenter on the show, and a few people were like, "Chris, you are the wizard guy." And a few people were like, "You have Aiden covered." And then one listener in particular by the name of Aiden was like, "You have Aiden covered."
Excellent. all right, you want to start us off with some of the early ones that got sent
so,
in?
One of the earlier ones came in from none other than Chris Scott. I would like to nominate myself as best, possibly only, ex-UFO Starbird thrower in Melbourne. It may or may not come from Timu. Best example was the uphill and around the corner skinny dog leg par 4 at Mount Xavier. We all know it. It is hole 9, depending on what layout you play. Up and around the corner on hole 9 with that disc.
That's pretty good.
Yep.
That's pretty good. That's a nice hole. And he's 100% the only one who throws it. So, I mean, cannot be disputed.
Yes.
And we've got another one here from, I think it was Kalen.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned the tempo, and he's just said no. So he's the Axiom tempo guy. He said he probably threw it on 80% of the holes of his round. Was parking every 80 to 90 meter hole with this 4-speed. So he's trying to jerk himself off a little, but he goes, and definitely also the MVP Nobads, mostly because nobody else really throws them, and maybe even contentiously the Hexes. I mean, if you want to come at Melbourne with the Hexes, I'm sure people are going to put up a fight. That's mm-hmm. like that's like trying to claim the buzz. Like, good luck. Yeah. But he said he shot double digits at Ruffy with just a Hex and a Nomad. So if you want to come after him, you got to put up some numbers like that. And then lots of stuff that he throws that nobody decent does, he says. Nobody decent does. But those are his big three. He goes, he could get real spicy and say Wraith or Destroyer. And I think Darren was pretty quick to say that anyone who says any typical Innova disc needs to maybe chill out because Dave Perry exists.
He does exist. And he did womp everyone just recently.
Yeah. But yeah, so the Nomads, Hexes potentially, and the Axiom tempo. So he's going all in on the MVP and the Axiom mids and putters. That's where Kalen reckons he's at. What do you think about them?
They're pretty popular discs, and I think we won't be surprised to hear some counter offers moving forward. Mm. And I look forward to it. But, you know, the kid can throw. I guess this is the nature of this segment. This does not necessarily mean that they are, dominating every round. He is wildly inconsistent at times, but when he throws a good one, they are pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Another one we're sharing comes from our good friend Oscar, saying the Prodigy, which just, you know, Tim Bowen, you big listener. Tim, I don't want a piece of this, but the Prodigy M4 can shred at Roffey with the Prodigy M4.
I do believe that. I do believe that, but we definitely already have a challenger to that.
Mm-hmm.
Because Marcus Vallotta reached out, and he just says, like, no specific disc. He goes, I'm the best Prodigy disc thrower in Victoria or entire Australia. Prove me wrong.
I love how recently you played with Tim Bowen. It was just like throwing a dig at Tim Bowen.
Exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. Oscar, a bit of, M4, I think that's Prodigy. And Vil just says there's no Prodigy that anyone does better than me. So, we'll see. We'll see.
We will. I mean, I would hate to put, sorry, Vil, but I would hate to put Oscar and Vil on Melton with just an M4. To be honest, like what I mean is I would love to put both those through just at Melton with an M4. I mean, in his last outing, Vil left a few out there. And I'm pretty confident he was throwing a few M4s. He only had three discs with him. Yeah, that could be a spicy little battle.
That could be. That'd be very, very nice.
Yeah.
All right, is that enough for this week, you think?
I think so. So, others, we're not ignoring you. There's just too many. And keep them coming. Keep them coming.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we've got a pretty good list going. We might actually have to make it a proper comprehensive list that we can follow and track. But
and not lose track of.
Yeah, we'll get on. I mean, that's what we've got currently. If you've got any doubts about any of these, then let us know. I can see people coming for Kalen pretty good with the with the hexes. Like Chris Scott throws the shit out of a hex. I wonder if he thinks he throws it better than Kalen. We'll see.
Yeah.
All right, we had a social day on the weekend, the Werribee social day. And did I see your name on the list?
Temporarily. I made a little appearance, which was pretty fun.
Yeah, nice. What cut it so short?
Rolled out with my 2-year-old. My boss had plans, and it was just me and him chilling for the morning. So I signed up the night before and was like, cool, we're going to go throw some frisbees. And he loved it. We got back to roughly where my car was. You know, that's pretty awkward at Werribee, but I got back to that little island where I parked at that little avenue, and I put it on the table. I was like, we want to do one more lap, or you want to go home? And he's like, yeah, one more lap. And then 3 seconds later, he was like, go home. And I was like, let's go home. I had 9 putts for birdie inside 11 meters in my 9 holes, and I made 5 of them. Not awful, but pretty standard for me at the moment. And so I was 5 down through 9, and I was pretty happy with that. And glad I went home, because I was not going to get 8 of the next 9.
Gotcha. Yeah, well, Joel Way, who is currently in Div Z, he got 5 down as well, but he took 18 holes. He parred pretty much the whole back 9.
Yep.
In Div C, no one got under, but Paul Baker was the closest. He was even, the only one not over par. So Paul Baker edges out Simon McKay and Paul Rogers, plus 1, plus 3, and it starts getting pretty plussy after that in Div C. One name I'm not seeing, though, is Emma Winkworth.
Yeah, I know.
So disappointingly, my dollars guarantee goes nowhere because she didn't roll up. So it would have been tight. Emma, Melton,
she's good
even.
For a minus 1. Yeah.
Would have been real, real tight. So, we'll see.
Yep. Div B, couldn't separate them.
Yeah.
Couldn't separate them. So 4 tight at the top there with our mate Marcus, Zach Schloffel, Alex Ritchie. Bring it in, ding. That feels like a big performance from Alex.
Mm-hmm.
And Richard Lewis-Schell, all there tied at minus 6. I think Richard was originally signed up maybe for the 8 o'clock round, or I think cards got moved around. I don't know. I feel like I was meant to originally play with Richard, but I didn't end up playing with Joel, who you just mentioned, Damien and Paul. Newsy's plus 4. Was not getting it done in Div B. And for the holes that I got to play with him, he was getting just a fraction too many bogeys for sure.
Yeah, I can find, I'm sure we'll find him on the bottom side of the handicap. But someone I think we'll find on the high side of the handicap has got to be Jace Wiener. That's a pretty nice score for JC Boy there, neg 4.
Yeah, tidy for sure.
I think I might
have. Bogey free?
Mm-hmm.
I thought
I had him in a matchup, but I don't think I ended up doing it. But, he was 3 down through 3. And I was so close to going on the chat and just being, like, asking if that's a glitch or something. But then he parred the next 700 holes, and I was like, oh, okay. But, 4 down, nice finish. So, well done there, Jace. Give him a pump up, and then just got to give him a little kick on the way out. But yeah, pretty nice scores from Div B. Next six pretty popular. That was right in the middle of it for Div A. Everyone going under par. And Div A fat now. 18 players in Div A for only 12 in Div B. They did change that magic number because I think Div A was getting a little too small, but they might have to do a little bit of work to get it back because that's a lot of people.
Yeah, it is.
Marcus Vellotto is just too good. Just too good. 13 down. He just wins every social day. Like, every single social day. It's crazy. Like, he's going to win this season by a million. I don't think anyone's going to come close to him. We'll probably have to check into it at some stage.
I'm keeping an eye on it as we speak.
Mm.
And he's built up quite the lead. He's built up quite the lead. And Penn, however, is one round short.
Gotcha.
So it's hard to tell.
Penn there in second, two back of Ville. Diros, one back of that. So all double digis down for those big boys, which is to be expected. Very nice round from both Juan and Chu Tran. So neg 9 and neg 8 for those boys.
Chu's got to be close to the top of the leaderboard on handicap there. Wowee.
Yeah, ahead of names like Darren Say Smith and Ruben Berg, you know you are doing some work. And I was so close. I had actually written down Darren and Ruben in the head-to-heads.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, we just had that. Like, we had that a couple weeks ago. So I went Rubes and Deer, and now I regret changing it because ring-a-ding-ding that was. But yeah, a lot of nice scores, a lot of good numbers. I'm looking down the bottom though, and I'm seeing Doug Adams' name, which is not so good for the Throwlers guarantee. But I don't see Kerry Edwards' name.
Yeah, I know.
So not sure what happened with him, but got one hole in, and that's all she wrote.
Yeah, or he didn't. Like, I don't know. He hasn't messaged us. I don't know. I'm wondering if he wasn't even there.
Mm. Potentially.
Yeah.
But so that was no throwers guarantee for either of us. That was
frustrating.
We didn't even get to see it play out.
Yeah.
Sad. Handy, have you got the handicap up there? Or no, you probably went straight to...
No, I've got the handicap up. First name that jumped off the page was Alex Ritchie, and Alex Ritchie has taken it down. The other name that jumped off the page was Chu Tran. He actually found himself in fourth. Reese Vissou and Richard Lewis-Shell took out the podium with the handicaps. And at the other end, I'm sure we won't be surprised to find oofed David Heath. He is trending in the wrong direction. He is a guarantee for bottom half handicap at the moment. I might have to run that by you later. Damian Musi find himself down there, as does Aiden Howard.
Mm, not so good, Aiden. I didn't even strike that one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not good news for my team heading into Street League, which went down as well right after that. I just got to get up the scores, but my team had zero wins, and I told you, I think I said on the last pod, the team just does better. Like, historically, the teams that I play on do better when I'm not playing.
Funny.
Even when I get wins, which I have not. I'm 0-2 this year. I have been no help whatsoever. And I was, if I had won my first matchup, we would have won. But for some reason, people just play better when I'm not on their end. Like, they lift knowing that one of their better players is away, I guess.
It must be that. It must be that.
And it's come through good again. This was a tight one. Disco Stu versus Lionel Putz was a real tight one. I was keeping very close eye on that, of course. And I think there was like an absolute shellacking. Yeah, Narada and Chris Harp just put some work on Taryn and Ilya. Both of them found themselves pretty low on the handicap leaderboard. So not good days at the social day, and then did not back it up very well. And Chris Scott murdered Brennan. Murdered him. And gave it to him as well. Did you see...
Did Chris Hart play the social day or just rocked up for this?
He must have just rocked up for that. Because, yeah, he wasn't on the other thing. Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't see him, yeah.
That's funny. Maybe he, maybe he was working. He could only make that.
Yeah.
And he got to go home early because he spanked him.
There you go.
But there was just some... The chat is odd sometimes when we get a bunch of weirdos together. Then sometimes the chat gets odd. And then Darren had written something about the latter. Like, there was two options, and he said, and this is the latter, or this applies to the latter, or something like that. And so someone took it as lather, and then there was all bath things, and then there was a, like, Brendan was like, I'm going to lather you up, Chris Scott, or, like, bring a rubber ducky, because I'm going to lather you up. It got odd. And then Chris Scott waxed Brendan, and he gave him a little rubber ducky.
He did.
So... Well done. But that's where it ended for Lionel Putz. Aiden, I can't remember. I feel like he was down the whole time. And then came back clutch in the end and hit a pretty tasty putt for the win.
Yes.
Over Joel. And Peter Barry was, I think, just up most of the round against a Damo on his home turf and gets it done by one. And the doubles partnership of Deer and Johnny Martin, who performed quite well in the social day, up against Darren and Brett Zeeble, who performed quite well in the social day, went down to a playoff, and our boys got it done. Deer and Johnny Martin take the win one up. So, bang, 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 Disco Stu gets the win, and you're welcome for not showing up.
You're beauty.
What about the other team, undefeated Van Kalen? How did they go?
Just absolutely rinsed.
Pantsed.
With massive implications on the leaderboard, because their differential is now two down. What were they not that long ago? They were 12 up.
Oh, shit.
They were 12 up. According to the misleading leaderboards, and I'm glad that came alive in the chat as well. But they now find themselves two down because James Honeyman, traditionally a Street League killer, gets done by Barnett six down. Bang. That's one of the biggest victories, the biggest victory we've seen all year.
Yeah.
Peter Chu gets it done by one over El Don. Alex Ritchie gets it done by three over Pacanti. Oofed. Alex Ritchie has done a number there, and I feel like he's newer to the game, I'm pretty sure. And I'm sure he puts in less field work days than Pacanti.
Oh, well, we might have something a little from Alex, actually.
Okay. The only saving grace for Van Kalen was Vil and Schloffel one up over Penn and Jason. So that was a ring-a-ding-ding. And then finally, another just panting, Max Tatz and Doug Adams smack Alex Evans and Paul Baker, five up.
Big.
Yeah.
Big, big, big. Honeyman gets the player of the match for taking it like a champ. It's so, like, on brand.
Correct.
Barnett gets man of the match for giving it to him like a champ. Chris Scott gets man of the match for Lionel Putz for spanking Brennan. And Peter Barry gets it for our boys for rolling into Melton and telling one of the locals to fuck off.
Well, it was Werribee, but close enough.
Oh, yeah, true. Yeah. My bad. Still, well done there, Peter Boy. So let's see what that does for the leaderboard. Van Kalen stays on top. I can't remember what happened if Pacanti Beans and Putz flip-flopped. Probably not because of the 13 up. Bang, bang. But yeah, we got a win. So we're only one win away now from being in the mix. So it's exciting. Two more weeks left. Van Kalen could get rinsed in both of them, and who knows? But we took a hit. We won three matches, but we were five down on the day. Not so good. They're leading. Van Kalen's leading, but it's two down. Hectic.
Yeah.
Hectic, hectic, hectic. But yeah, I did mention that I might have something from Alex Ritchie. So he reached out and he's just like, yep, I smashed it. Handicap win. Win in the street league I'm assuming you want to have a chat with me for the pod.
Correct.
And I was like, yeah, that would be fantastic. I was like, just send us through a bit of a soundbite. Like, let us know what happened on the day. And he said, gladly. So I got a little something here from Alex Ritchie. Yeah, just letting us know how good he is.
Boys, thanks for having me on the pod. It's been a whirlwind few days since my handicap win at the Werribee Social Day. I've been asked to be on pretty much every disc golf podcast that I've ever heard of, and I had to turn a few down, but I wasn't going to say no to you blokes. So, yeah, it's really an honor. So, really what's happened is I ran into a friend of the show, Penn, only a few days before my round at Werribee. And I think I've even said to you before, Alan, everyone's always saying, oh, Penn's here, oh, we love Penn. But I've always just said, I don't know why people are so stoked to see this guy. He's just really mean. And just had the complete opposite experience. He said to me, are you working on anything at the moment in particular? And I said, no, not really, just throwing. And then I thought, I wonder what he'll say if I ask. So I said, what should I work on? And he goes, you're throwing nose up, you should fix that. And I sort of thought, oh, here we go. But he just gave me all this practical advice and kind of helped me fix it. I know this is going to sound really obvious to a lot of your listeners, but I, for the longest time, have been throwing shots that, 40 to 50% of them go really nose up. And I go, oh, shit, that's nose up. And then I walk to the next shot and kind of forget about it. So, yeah, now that Penn helped me fix it, I'm throwing 60% power on everything. I'm disking down on everything, just keeping the nose down, and they're going further. I didn't realize, but I was, now that I look back at the old me, I was trying to throw the stamp off every disc on every shot that was longer than about 60 meters. And now I don't have to do that anymore, and they're going where I point them, boys. So yeah, cut to social round at Werribee. I think I was, I'd have to pull up the stats, but I think I was seven down through 10 or 11 holes. I actually didn't get a birdie after that and took one bogey and finished at six. But that's better than I've shot. I did go back and look at other metrics rounds. I don't think I've had a better one since like 2022. So it's, new Richie's here. Still haven't fixed the putt, but when you throw on this well, you don't have to putt. And then in the afternoon street league round, I was actually in the singles against another friend of the show, I believe. I think he's called Aaron the Bean Piacentini, who I haven't looked at the head-to-head, but I don't think I need to say I don't think I've ever beaten him. To be fair, he didn't have probably the round that he wanted to, but again, kept the nose down. I think I did make a couple of putts in that one. So massive thanks to, I think, Penn. Does Penn listen to the show? You talk about him. thanks, mate, because I feel like I'm kind of all right at this sport that I've been trying to be kind of all right at for a lot longer than I'd like to admit now. Oh, and before I go, the whole Australia's top-rated round of disc golf ever, I think what you boys have done with the whole ratings inflation fiasco is simply electric. I think you're rascals, but I think you are exactly the type of rascals we need messing around with that questionable, at best, system. You saw the opening and you took it, and I honestly can't believe that there are takes other than this one out there that are getting airtime. So keep doing it. I wish I'd played it, but I'll be at the next one for sure. Cheers.
How good?
How good indeed.
How good.
We do love a guy gets around himself. And
I don't know if we love a guy. Do we love a guy that gets around Penn though?
Nah, that's, I know that's a bit far.
We don't have much time for that on the airwaves.
Nah, just back yourself in. Just be like, I saw a problem, I fixed it.
And I just fixed it. Some random told me something. You're just better off not name dropping at that point and yeah, hoping Penn listens.
Exactly. So yeah, big. That was very big. We also had I had Vil message me as well. He wanted to let me know about the Prodigy thing, of course. But also, he goes, just make sure that you mention that that he got the league day win, the new course record, the CTB. He beat yeah. Penn and Jason in Street League, and then he bounced.
Yeah, it's a good day. It's a good day. And I was thinking when we were looking at that minus 13, which is electric, obviously not surprised to see that it's the course record. He's going to hit us up and be like, boys, I threw the M4 on 16 holes.
Yeah, that shit. Exactly. The tipping. So I think I had Alex in the tipping as well, which is good. Let's go where I find my round results. We had, Alex Richie.
Yeah, you had Richie, Alex versus Alex, didn't you?
Yeah, I was pretty happy with that. It was Alex Evans heavy. For sure. So not crazy, but definitely Alex Evans was a favorite. And
I got waxed. That one right.
You got, that one
Alex
right.
Ritchie. Nice. That was one of two.
One of two. yeah, Emma didn't show up, so that was a can. Carrie didn't show up, so that was a can. So that sucks. But then we had Chu Tran versus Glenn Rolston. We've talked about how good Chu's round was, so I think that gives that answer. Pretty evenly matched in the tipping, but good work there, Chu. And that makes Alan 2 from 2. Oh, no, I had Alex Evans. I was sure I picked Alex Ritchie. God damn it. Son of a bitch. That's the best day of his life. Brett Zeebel, Pete Chu, and Brett's up and about. I think he's worried about getting dropped off that leaderboard. That, yep. The King of the Hill leaderboard, which people are trying to put Peter Chu on it, and Brett just said, get fucked.
Yep.
Taron versus Al Don, and Taron heavy favorite. Al Don gets it done.
Just
gets it done. Diros versus Berg, and Ruben, quite the favorite. Diros has been down at the social days, so not surprised. I went with Ruben for that very reason. And Diros comes through. And then Juan versus Narada. Lots of people would pick Narada. It's a social day, so I don't understand why anyone did. I went with Juan, and I got the W. So three for me. Shit, no good. But the best anyone did was 5, which was only really one wrong. Schleff got 5, so not too bad. What do we got? I had the New South Wales on there. We'll have a little bit of a chat about that. We won't go too crazy, mostly because I don't have it up in front of me. But have you?
Yeah, of course. Well attended in the end. And they were out at Rathmines playing. Is it all temp out there? You was talking about a nationals out there. Is it a temp course? What's the go?
Yeah, I think there might be baskets there. There must be. Yep. But it's, this is not the standard course.
Yep. Looking across the leaderboard, not many Victorians head up. So I've got to scroll a little ways to find some familiar names. Not even, you get to MA3, and given, there was a bit of a parked presence, you find Matty Farina there in MA3, who, played, consistently below rating, but played consistently, always within reach of his rating. So right there in the middle for 7th, well done. Finley Atkinson takes out MA3. MA2, I'm not catching any Victorian names.
Nah, not much going on. We've claimed Carol Hartley, and she takes the W in FA40 by a landslide. So well done there, Carol. But other than that, no one really did much from Victoria. And in the NPO, it was pretty lackluster. So I did ask a source who was at the competition and was just like, "What's going on?" And he said it was just, it was a real, like, it was real punishing to try anything good. And so that's why ratings were sort of odd and why scores weren't that great. So yep. If you try to be good, you just sort of got hurt. And if you just tried to be, if you were just kind of trash, it didn't bother you. So yeah, it was just sort of like a not fun course to play was what I was hearing, which is a bit disappointing. So don't really know, but that's, yeah, that's the word on the street was it wasn't particularly fun and there wasn't much incentive to try to be good.
Yep.
And, that's sort of how Bainey found himself playing, some, yeah, 970 or less golf, I think. And, Aussie D takes the win with like a 975 average or something, right?
Yeah. I wonder if the tee off boys would be a big fan of this type of course where, you know, it's basically dumb to go for the birdie and therefore you get a lot of pros going for pars and then you get a lot of ams getting pars and therefore you get really jank ratings. I'm sure this is right up their alley.
Must be.
Yeah.
But yeah, Aussie D, he took the lead from the start, I think, and then just held it the whole way. So, well done, Aussie D. I don't know what he was, some shenanigans.
In and out of the event. Yeah.
Don't know what happened with that, but it's stuffed around. It's like some people run tipping comps, like it's like they don't consider that stuff.
But yes.
Anyway, yes. Good on him. Another major win. I think he's probably got a couple now.
Yep, correct.
It's got to be the lowest rated major win of the year, probably. Besides whatever might have happened in Tassie, but still, he gets it done by two strokes over Leith. Bainey won back from that, and it dropped off pretty aggressively from there. But shout out to Rob Reeves.
Shout out to Robert Reeves with a 986 final round, just to jump up that leaderboard quite nicely into T4th. Well done, the unit.
My housemate for Eruption coming up.
Oh, big.
Big. Should be good.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so I had a message from Nate Parrish after this too, and he asked what I can't remember exactly what the rough is, what the question was, and I can't be bothered finding it, but it was something on the lines of like, when can you say no to helping look for a disc? So like when is it too rough? So what are your thoughts on that?
Look, having played Invalid in peak occasion season, look, the way I've played it, because there's been times where they've just made it like, it's in there, you can take relief, whatever. But there's been times we've played Invalid and it's like, no, get in and play from your disc. And my take is like, I will skirt painful bushes and give a good look and I'd definitely give it the 3 minutes plus whatever it needs to be. But I won't bleed. I won't bleed for someone else's disc. I'm not even willing to bleed for my own. Like, I'm not going to bleed for someone else's.
Yeah, well, that's, yeah. The exact question was, how rough does the rough have to be before you can opt out of helping a card mate? And I'm going even a step further. Like, I'll get in there for my disc. But your disc, I'm not going to get into a position where this might damage my clothing. Yes. I think that's my line.
Yeah.
I'm not worried about cutting my skin because if it's going to cut my skin, it's going to get through my clothing and I'm not going to be part of that.
Yep.
So that's my thought.
Have you ever thrown a disc or been a part of someone throwing a disc off into the reeds at Bicentennial?
Yes.
And have you gone in for someone else's disc?
Yeah. But that's not See, that's not going to mess my clothing up.
Yeah, yeah.
Sweet. I might die in there because I won't be able to find my way out.
Yeah, I've been a part of that. But I've definitely been in there for other people's discs going, what are we doing here?
It doesn't take very long before I'm like, I don't know how to get out. And therefore, it's like, there's no way this disc comes up.
I live here now.
Yeah, I live here now. No, I've got a very nice... what was it? What are they used to call the FDs? They might still do the S line ones. They had like a special tour series.
Oh, it was an animal.
Nah, but after the Jackal.
After the Jack Hyde.
They had, they called it something. Anyway, I've got one of them in there. That was my favourite disc once upon a time, but it's now it's gone. Yeah, let us know if anyone has anything, if they're more committed or even, somehow even less committed, then let us know.
Please do.
What's
how
on this week?
How did Parrish go?
How did Parrish? Oh, I don't know. I didn't actually ask the story. I should have.
No, I know. I mean at the event.
Oh, badly. Yeah, badly. Yeah.
But, did he beat Hayden Fatini?
Nah, he was matched up against Hayden Fatini. And they both shot six, but one of them was 600 and one of them was six over. Sorry, Nate.
Yeah, so that just wrecked me now tipping. Like, no, sorry, that's a lie. It didn't help me with my tipping.
Yeah. He was, like, so confident that he was going to. Yes. And then he just got fucking waxed. I was like, all right, mate. Thanks for that, you dick. Do we have Frisbee this weekend?
Is
social day? All right.
Bald Hill.
Yeah, cool. I'm going away, so I won't be around. But we can do some, what's it called? Dollars Guarantee.
Correct.
That's these people called. Better fucking show up this week.
I know, right?
Is there anything you've got your eye over?
Yeah, of course. Mikey Hare is signed up. And as is a few other big dogs. So, like, take your pick. But let's go Mikey Hare. Do you have it open?
Yeah, I'm on it.
Oh, this is big. You can pick any one of these names, but I'm going to say Mikey Hare podium.
Oh, Mikey Hare podium. So what do we got? Aiden not playing that great. Does love it there, though.
Mm-hmm.
Deros, he might be back. Ruben likes it there. Okay. all right. I do like it. I think he is more likely to than not. There's not that many big names, and I like him better than some of these names. So. But it's not much more than a thing. And every time I do that, it fucks me. So I need to go one back one. I'll go... Oh, I don't want to do that, though. I don't want to give you... I don't want to give you five that he will, and I don't want to give you six that he won't.
Well,
and I'm stuck.
To make that harder for you, if you give me five for Will, I'm taking the five for Will. If you give me six for Won't, I'll take the six for Won't.
Yeah, I don't want it either one of them. Because if we won't, then yeah, all right, four he does, six he doesn't.
I'll take the six.
Yeah. All right, he will.
He should, he but will. I'm hoping there's some listeners out there by the name.
I missed Will's name. Fuck, I was like, Will didn't sign up, so like, there's that one gone.
Nah.
But he did. Fuck.
He did. And there's a couple others that still could sign up.
Yeah.
And, look, he will podium, but I have to take the value.
I know.
I have to take the value.
I didn't like that.
And that's why it's the underdog. That was a good guarantee.
I didn't.
I'm glad people love this segment.
Yeah, fuck off. I don't like that. I don't like what he did there. All right. I want to put Joel Way up against someone.
Oh, yes.
Who do I want to put him up against? Very evenly matched against Aiden, the last one.
They just went toe-to-toe.
Got him in the social day, but lost to him in the what's the name? Chris Scott's metric rating is not real, is it?
Apparently not.
He's better than that, isn't he?
He definitely...
What about Joel and Chris Scott?
At Bald Hill, I have to go 5-5.
Gotcha.
Anywhere else, Joel gets the nod.
Yeah, okay.
Anywhere else, Joel gets a nod. Bald Hill specialist Chris Scott lifts his game a little bit, and they become a tie in mind.
No, it's a bicentennial. Didn't we go through this? Is it?
It's a Bald Hill.
Oh, what? The whips. Okay, I fucked that up then. Oh, yeah, it is Bald Hill. Shit. All right, have I cooked that? Do we have Street League that week then too? Am I missing out? Is it this weekend?
I think maybe there isn't Street League. Yeah, I don't know. Okay. I'm not in Street League. I don't think there is, though.
I'm getting off track. All right. Yeah, no, he's good there. Yeah, he's good there. All right, what about Chris Scott versus Kalen?
Ooh.
Who's real good at Bald Hill, apparently, because he beat me.
He did. Fucking prick. They are evenly poised. In the rating sense, Chris Scott, just through sheer weight of numbers and just the fact that Kalen hates being told that he's shit, for no other real reasons other than that, I will actually give Chris Scott the favoritism there, but by a nose, and say Chris Scott 4, Kalen 6.
Okay. I'll take the 5, Chris Scott, Joel.
Yeah, and you'll take Chris Scott over Joel?
Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
Yep.
I didn't say that very clearly. Yep. Yeah. I'll do that.
All right.
Chris Scott over Joel.
That's a good one.
At Bicentennial.
Can't separate those two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, you got a bit of spotlight, not light?
I do. I absolutely do. I need it. I kind of half type this down. I'll start with a not light. My not light is my tipping, and I alluded to it before. No thanks to Nathan Parrish. But I tipped shit anyway. But I 100% was like Fatini, tipped it, put it in. Chat lights up a couple of days later. Parrish going off on one. I smashed him by 13 strokes. How is this the way you now see me, Alan? Rah, rah, rah. I'm like, okay, Jesus, apparently I don't pay attention. Best change that tip. And it just chalk it up for another one that I got wrong. So, yeah, my not light is my tipping.
Yeah, gotcha. yeah, I don't have I don't really have a not light. Nothing jumped out at me this week. I might be a couple in a row with that. I need to get a little bit more disgruntled. Need to get my disgruntled back on. Something needs to piss me off, but I'll work on that. I'll work on that for next week.
All right, sweet. You got a spotlight?
Yes. You touched on it, and I hope I'm not stealing yours, but Marky's socials. So Marcus Davies has been doing a little series. We're on day 5 of him trying to ace hole one.
Yeah.
And fuck, he's been close a couple of times. Today, yep. I don't understand how that didn't go in.
Yeah.
Like that, what did that hit the bottom of the band and then shot down to the top of the cage.
Yeah.
And was like, out.
Tippled out.
Oh, stiff.
Yeah.
But it's been cool. So he's just doing a little series and he's just ripping putters at hole one.
Yeah. Loving the commitment to it's windy after school, so they got up early today as well.
Yeah.
And loving that. Yeah, good spotlight for you. Well done.
And then one thing, where do you have it? Why can't I see his name? His old man had let me know that he is no longer qualified for the Div B bully on the King of the Hill because he has found his way into Div A.
Oi!
So he's not on the list, but he must have been before. He must have some other commitment or something now. But yeah, he's found himself into Div A. His rating is going up to 875, and he's a Div A boy. So I don't know. The Wieners might have to have a look at the Hill. We've had a few people message me. I don't know why anyone's messaging me. I've had no part of making any of these lists. But I'm just putting it out there. There are people that are wondering when these lists are going to get updated.
Yep.
Because there's some disgruntled people in it. So it might make it tough now that that Brett just fucking stomped on someone. But yeah, anyway, he's no longer in Div B. So he might still be on your stink pile list, but he's no longer a Div B bully. So
there you go. He needs a new name.
What about you? Got a spotlight?
Yeah, mine has to generally, again, go to just the community that we find ourselves a part of. And I mentioned obviously the yikes comments on those posts that you just alluded to. I also loved hearing Marcus say, and I'm also the best thrower of the what during the video as well. But more specifically, I want to spotlight Joel Way, Damian Musi, and Paul Baker, and just like their general, just like welcomeness with like me bringing along a 2-year-old who was not in the pram for any second of that time, and just like playing soccer with him off to the side, or passing like the extension stick, or just like calling him over for a high five to get him out of the way of someone's putt. Honestly, it was just one of my favorite days. I really filled my cup just seeing these people who have never met him, and like, you know, Joel's brand new to us. I've barely met Paul, and they were just so warm and accommodating to me bringing my toddler along. And it's just like, again, I know I spotlight them a lot, but fuck, we're a good bunch of people. Spotlights!
Oh, that was loud.
Yeah.
Nah, excellent spotlight by you. I like that. Yeah. I think I've, that's like 11 spotlights in a row. I forgot to do the spotlight, so I'm glad I got one. It's so easy now too.
I'm glad we built that button.
It's on the button. And yeah, which I'll get a yikes button. I don't know if I'll ever use it, but I'll get a yikes button.
Sweet.
All right, well, yeah, that's it for another week. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Peace out.